morning, everybody. And it's just wonderful to be able to come and minister. And especially for those who have been baptized today, it's a wonderful blessing. Our time has finally come. I know we've been going through some baptism classes on the Wednesday nights. So welcome to everybody who's partaking. And also for those who've come to visit, from come to support, shall I say, from Happy Valley, come to support those who've been baptized. I know some of you have been baptized already, but it's just a great wonderful pleasure to be here and to see those going through the waters of baptism. Can we just commit our time to the Lord? Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for this time together, Lord. And as we open your word now, we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come to minister within our hearts, and that we can see the meaning of baptism. But most of all, we thank you for our salvation through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For without Christ, we have nothing, as we have read in the, as we have sung in the song. But with Christ, we have everything. So we thank you for this gift of eternal life which you have given us, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless our time further. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you for reading the scriptures, Luke, to us. And we're going to be looking at one of our scriptures from Acts. But before we turn there, Jesus was baptized. Jesus had a short time of ministry. It was 33 and a half years he lived on the earth. But he only spent 3 and a half years, we could say, in full-time ministry. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he did when he came into ministry is he went and he was baptized by John the Baptizer in the Jordan River. And as he came out, the Holy Spirit came upon him, as we heard from the scriptures. And he went out into his full-time ministry, where he trained up 12 disciples. And these disciples, they turned the world upside down. And of course, the gospel is still turning the world upside down today. And so he starts off his ministry with baptism. And he also ends off his ministry with baptism, when he commands us to go out. He commissions us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the name of the Son and name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. And surely he gives us a promise. Surely I will be with you till the very end of the age. He starts with baptism and he finishes off with baptism. He reminds us about why we need to be baptized. We have a couple of questions. So first one is, why does God instruct us to be baptized? Baptism is the first act of obedience and service to the Lord. Jesus set example by going and being baptized himself, submitting himself to God's rule and to God's submission for public ministry. And for us to be baptized by the Lord's obedience is the single most important thing regarding baptism. And we can see some accounts of that in the scriptures. Baptism, it makes all the difference if a person is baptized in their Christian walk. First scripture reading we're going to be looking at is in Acts 16. You probably know this scripture quite well, yeah? Acts 16, Paul and Silas. I'd like you to picture the scene. Paul and Silas, they were in prison sharing the gospel. They were in and out of prison. And many times Paul was in prison for the gospel. And many of the New Testament letters are written from prison. And here he's in a jail in Philippi and suffering for the gospel. But it's always an opportunity to share the gospel, even when in prison, because the gospel cannot be chained. No one can stop us from sharing the gospel. And so he's in chains. And his feet are in stocks, and they are in the inner part of the prison, and there they are, and they're praising the Lord, and they're sharing the gospel, and they are ministering. They're taking the opportunity, every opportunity. It's a lesson for us to take every opportunity to share the gospel. And we can pick it up here in Acts 16:25. If you've got your Bible or your device there, about midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners, they were listening to them. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once the prison doors were opened, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he had saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword to about to kill himself, because in those days, if a prisoner had to escape, the jailer's head would come off, and his wife, and his children, his whole family. We're surely living in different times, huh? And he was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted out in love, in concern, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, and he rushed in, and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs," he greets them as sirs, he's got respect for them, "what must I do to be saved?" And I believe that this is the question that's gone down through all generations. What must we do to be saved? And he said to him, verse 31, he replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." To believe, there's more than intellectual assent, more than just knowing facts about Jesus Christ. I mean, when we see Jesus Christ, who is this man who walks across the pages of history? It is the Son of God. And so he says here, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we take that word in the Greek, trust, is to take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And so he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a lost eternity. Saved from sin. Saved from judgment. And you'll be given eternal life. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. They shared the gospel to him. And to all others at the house. At that hour of night, the jailer took them out and he washed their wounds. With immediately he and all his family were baptized. Some of them must have given their lives to the Lord. The jailer brought them into his house because of his gratitude for them, for the gospel. And he set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. First, he was in fear before the feet of Paul and Silas. What must I do to be saved? Now he's got joy and peace in his heart, because he received Christ into his life and he's been baptized. He's gone down into the waters from distress, from fear, into joy, from eternal death, separation from God forever, and into eternal life. What a gospel and what an opportunity that he had, the Philippian jailer. And so he came to know the Lord and he was baptized. So what is the purpose of baptism? Several types of baptism mentioned in the Bible. Each one is a physical baptism, is a picture of a spiritual truth which is transformed. The people who are going to be standing up here and are going to go into the waters, they're coming to testify of what has happened, taken place within their hearts, that they've received Christ into their lives. And so this is an outward display of an inward change with inside of their hearts. In Romans 6, verse 1 to 7, we can hear Paul to the Romans. He says, "Dead to sin and alive in Christ." Romans 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism and into death, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his in his resurrection. And the picture of death, burial, and resurrection is a public testimony of the new convert, of one who's given their lives to Jesus. They are identifying with Christ, Jesus, through his death and through his burial, and then through his resurrection, going down into the water, symbolizing the old life rising out of the water is rising in Christ, representing a newness of life. We could say this is a burial ground. We could say this is a tomb. When people go in, they are dying to the old nature, dying to self, and they're raising themselves up with Christ in front of many witnesses to show that they are serious about following the Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek word for baptism is baptizo, which means to emerge, to dip, to be brought under, to make fully wet. So who should be baptized? The clearest case of individuals in the Bible is the Ethiopian eunuch. If we read in Acts 8, verse 26, and this is a picture of the Ethiopian eunuch. He's just come back from worship in Jerusalem, and he's in his chariot, and he's got the book of Isaiah open, and he's reading the book of Isaiah, but he's not really sure what the prophet is talking about. And as he's sitting in the chariot, and so the Holy Spirit leads Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, and he runs up to the chariot. And Philip sees the man reading the book of Isaiah. And he says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains to me." So that he invited Philip to come up and to sit alongside him. In verse 32 of Acts 8, the eunuch was reading this passage from the scripture of the suffering servant. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers was silent, he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from him, from the earth. And here the prophet is reading, here the eunuch is reading this and not understanding. We must be reminded that there's over 300 prophecies in the Bible which have been fulfilled already. And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with this very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus, the suffering servant. He shared the gospel with him, and clearly that he gave his life to Christ in repentance and faith. And then they carry on there. It says that as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. And as they came out of the water, Philip went on his way to go share the gospel. And so the eunuch went on his way, full of hope and full of joy, because he sealed that commitment that he made to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sealed it by going down into the waters and being baptized. And that's what these who are going to be baptized today are doing, sealing that decision that they made in Christ to go down into the waters. And the only requirement for baptism are the requirements for salvation. Not baptism first, then salvation. Salvation first, then baptism. We find here in Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be what? Saved. That's right. For it is with our heart that we believe and justified. We come in the right standing with God, in a right relationship with God. And it's with our mouth that we confess and that we are saved. The scripture says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone, it doesn't matter about your background, your culture, where you come from, what you've done, Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, the scripture says. And if we think of all the religions in the world, Christianity is the only religion in the world where mankind can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son. The Bible says, for Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, through Christ and his cross. And so Christianity, when you have a relationship with God, the God of the universe, who made the universe, comes and takes up his residence within our hearts by the power of his Holy Spirit. Think about that. That we can have a personal relationship with God through his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a heart belief in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Savior, he saves us from sin. He gives us eternal life when we repent and put our faith and trust in Christ. And then, Lord, we need to hand our life over to the Lord. We can't just have Savior and not Lord. Lordship is the most important thing. We've got to fall under the authority and the guidance of the Lord. And so it's a heart belief. It's also a confession, both Savior and Lord. There's no cases of baptism in the Bible of anyone but believers' baptism. What those are going to go through the water is believers' baptism. We think of Pastor John. He tells me that he's doing a dedication service today. And he's dedicating some children or some family or children to the Lord. A dedication service when you, maybe a child, baby, you bring before the congregation, you bring before the Lord, and the parents are dedicating their child. They're promising the Lord that they're going to bring up their child or their children in the ways of God and under his law. And so that is what they are doing in a dedication service. No water involved, not at all. No sprinkling, nothing like that. Dedicating their children. But as that child grows up, or those children grow up, they hear the gospel. They got to find Jesus for themselves. They got to come to a place and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves and receive that gift of eternal life. And so baptism follows salvation. So what is the method of baptism? Again, we saw that in Acts 8:38 with both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water and they came out of the water. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 3, verse 16, went down in the water, was baptized by John the Baptizer, and he came out of the water. And soon we will also witness those who are going down in the water and coming out of the water. They're taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in front of many witnesses. So how important is it to be baptized? Is not important or essential for salvation. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace that we are saved, through faith. This is not of ourselves, it's a gift from God, not by our works that we do, so no man can boast. You see, my dear friend, people after being baptized, some people have said, well, you know, I've been baptized in the church, and I'm okay now, or sometimes I've heard people say, I've been done. I don't like that saying. They've been done in the church, so that's okay. So when you die one day and you go stand before God and God says to you, why should I let you come into my heaven? Well, you see, God, I've got my baptism certificate here at the UF, and this is my ticket now into heaven. It doesn't work like that. You know, when we hear things like that, we think to ourselves, the people are way off the mark here. Because we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. There's no other way to receive salvation. And our good works don't save us. It's good to do good works, but good works don't save us. What of the thief on the cross? Can you remember the two thieves on the cross? The one chose death, separation from God forever, when he said to Jesus, Jesus, come down from the cross and save yourself and save me as well. And the other one turned to Jesus in his last breath and he said, Jesus, won't you remember me? He saw something in Jesus that he saw no other person. He for forgiveness, mercy. And he saw, this is the only way that I can have eternal life. He wasn't baptized, but he's called out to Jesus in his dying moment, in his dying breath. He says, Jesus, won't you remember me? And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't that wonderful? when you come to your kingdom. He knew that Jesus wasn't from this world, but he was from another kingdom, a kingdom where you and I have put our faith and trust in Jesus. We are heading for that kingdom. Can someone say amen? This is good news. Amen. And so he was not baptized. And so baptism is essential for service and spiritual growth. Yes, the Great Commission proves it. Baptism is an integral part, a very important part of the Great Commission. And it precedes the teaching that we have from the Word of God. Before anyone can be taught to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they must be willing first to submit to his obedience. He obeyed everything. The Lord obeyed everything in his word. And we need to obey everything in the word of God. Lord, help us to obey everything in your word. Because when the Bible speaks, God is speaking to us. He speaks to us through his word. Baptism is one of the ordinances in the church, just like it is when we take communion. So where should I be baptized? Since baptism is a public display. You're standing in front of the public and you're saying to the public, this is more than the public, this is the God's people, to the people of God. You're taking your confession before the people of God that you've come to put your faith and you've come to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with his help, we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Paul says, when you're in Christ, it is as we are in a race, and it's not how well we start the race. We can often start the race well, but it's how well we finish the race. And Paul says, forgetting about these things which are past, in Philippians 3, verse 13, he says, I press on towards the goal for which Christ Jesus has called me heavenwards. Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan River. It was a public act and identification that the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important thing in our lives. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And many are going to stand here. They're not ashamed to call Christ their Savior or their Lord, because it is the most wonderful thing to be baptized. When you're baptized in the water, and I'm sure many of you have been baptized before, and as you go down the water, you come out, and how it just gives you a whole new prospect on your life, on your spiritual walk with the Lord, and how it gives you the ability when you want to serve the Lord, and it gives you that just ability that you want to go out and say, yes, Lord, yes, I've received you as my Savior, my Lord. I've been baptized according to your ordinances in the Word, and now I'm ready to go out into the world and to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're back to our last verse now, our verse that we started with in the scriptures, which was read to us, and that was in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. So what I've got at the table, please remember now, when you go out at the table there at the back, you'll find a whole lot of tracts, and I've got two here. There's other tracts. You can take some, you can photocopy them. This one here, I hand out a lot. It says here, do you know for sure that you're going to be with God in heaven one day? You've got to be sure. You have to be sure. As you walk out the door, you must be sure, because you and I are not guaranteed of just now. And then here's another one I like to hand out. Someone cares. And you might have come into the service today, and you might be loaded down with a lot of burdens and a lot of cares. But my dear friend, I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is here for you. And he says, call upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Cast your cares upon the Lord. He cares for you. So take some tracts, hand them out. And the Great Commission. Let's take the Great Commission to heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, he commissions us to go out and to make disciples. Notice, he didn't say make converts. Conviction and conversion is the work of God. We can't put people into the kingdom of God. That's God's. It is God's salvation. God is the one who opens up the door of people's hearts. And we need to respond to that gospel. When we hear the Lord speaking in our heart and knocking on our heart's door, we need to open the door and invite the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into our heart. Maybe you need to do that even now. You need to do that and ask the Lord to come into your heart. And then we take the good newspaper is here. The challenge newspaper is here. There's a whole 500 newspapers there on the table. 500. I'm sure there's There's 500 people here. So you can take, if there's 100 people here, so each one, work out my mass, each one can take four each. Is that all right? You take four each, and you tell the Lord today, Lord, I'm going to hand out those challenge newspapers. Part of the Great Commission, you take those challenge newspapers, you take those tracts, you get them photocopied, take go up to Zipprint, get the whole lot made. You go and you hand them out so that other people can come into the kingdom of God. Let's not keep our salvation to ourselves. Amen? It's a free salvation for all who believe. And before we're going to pray now, there's a lovely scripture, a lovely hymn called One Day. And I think this is a chorus. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, he's freed me forever. Listen, one day he's, say it, coming, oh glory. Day. What a hope we've got, eh? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we can commit our lives afresh to you this morning and that we've got this glorious hope in Christ Jesus our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this free gift of eternal life and that through our repentance and our faith that we are serving you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you minister within our hearts and that you guide us and that you strengthen us in our walk. Help us to run this race. Help us to finish the race which you have called us, which you have marked out for us. Thank you, Lord. Give us the strength. Give us the ability and that we can go out and the boldness that we can go out and share the good news that Jesus Christ is the only way, no other way to the Father except through the cross of Christ. And that we can take this message of hope into the world. Father, we also just pray for those who are going to go down in the water now and are going to be baptized. What a glorious sight it's going to be, Lord, in the presence of, in your presence, Lord, in the presence of many witnesses here, that they're going to testify that I'm going down in the waters, I'm dying to the old nature, dying to self, and I'm coming out the waters and I'm living for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for those who are going to be baptized this morning. I pray, Lord, that you bless them. Not only that, but they can keep strong in their faith as they press on in the race to the finish line. Father, we thank you for our time so far together. We pray, Lord, that you'll take your word and apply it to our lives. And as we go out from this place, we can say, Lord, work within my heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Amen.